have. Amen. You can't be getting closer to God and getting meaner and meaner.
That's right. That's right.
Why are you so mean now? I'm getting closer to God. I'm more devoted now. I'm more serious about my relationship to God. So you got meaner. So getting closer to God made you more meaner than what you are. You ever seen people like that? I'm just getting close to God. Now you can't even talk to them. Because they're so holy now because they're getting close to God that now you can't even talk to them. You can't even hold a conversation with them because now they think they're better than you or that they're more holy than you, that they're more serious, they're more devoted, they're more committed. And see, that's that boastful, puffed up spirit. The more God you got in you, the easier it ought to be for you to get along. Because you got peace. You got the fruit of the Spirit. See, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, then the fruit of the Spirit is being generated all the time in you. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is constantly renewing you in the fruit. That love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, that gentleness, that goodness. No, that's bad. Oh, that's good. That ain't going to make you mean. Not going to make you nasty. It's not going to make you want to be isolated. The more God you got in, the more people you want to come in contact with. The less people you hide from when you're full of the Holy Ghost. Because another thing to go out your life is fear. Then you stop just being scared of stuff. Because the Holy Spirit is ordering your steps. So you learn how to trust it. You learn how to trust those leadings. And you know that you're going to be okay because, hey, the Holy Ghost told me to do this. When you start hearing his voice and he's teaching you things that he's hearing, he's revealing the Father's heart to you and what God desires for you to do, I'm going to tell you the greater and greater blessing that you're going to be.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in the heart. You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Best variety in music.
Great variety of music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
It's awesome.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Talking about calming the storms you create. A whole lot of us know how to create storms, but we don't know how to calm them. Some of us know how to start some stuff, but we don't know how to finish it or stop it. Sometimes our pride gets in the way. Sometimes our flesh gets in the way. Sometimes our own desires get in the way. And as a result of it, we go through stuff unnecessarily so and longer than we ought to have to because we don't know how to put out the fire we started. Or calm the storm we created. Look at this word, because there are some things that I want us to look at. Jonah, the book of Jonah is only four chapters. first chapter consisting of 17 verses, second and third chapters consisting of 10 verses, and the fourth chapter consisting of 11 verses, a total of 48 verses in the book of Jonah, but a powerful story told about a man who most of this word had to deal with the storm that he created. One of the things that you're going to understand about the text before us is Jonah's, one, displeasure. Two, his disillusionment. Three, his discontentment. And four, his disappointment. And all of these things came out of the fact that, number one, he was dissatisfied with his assignment. Dissatisfied with his assignment. One of the things that we must understand and recognize is if we belong to the Lord and we are called to the work that he has assigned for us, then it means that we are yielded vessels unto him. It means he created us for his purpose, for his glory. It means he knows us better than we know ourselves. He has so designed us so that we would fulfill his will. So that means he knows what's in us because he made us. He knows what we can handle and what we cannot handle. He knows what we can do and what we cannot do. And because of all of this knowledge that he has, he places us where we best fit. Now, it does not say, nor does it suggest, that where we are is always where we want to be. But because he knows what's best for us, and then he knows what it is that we are best capable of doing, when he assigns us to an assignment, he assures us that we would be successful if we obey him. Now, how many times you wanted to do something, but you were incapable of doing it, only to find out that in the end you were disappointed and others around you were disappointed because you could not accomplish what you desired to do, not recognizing that you don't pick your own assignments. Your assignments are picked for you. I experience in ministry work all the time people who want to serve in different positions, and they don't have the calling for the position. If they don't have the calling for the position, it means they're not equipped for the ministry. And if they're not equipped for that ministry, they will never be edifying in that ministry. And if they will never be edifying in that ministry, then it is a clear reality and a clear understanding that they were not called to the ministry. They just desire to serve in that ministry. God never places you where you're not going to be a blessing both to him and to his kingdom. And when we begin to understand that, that's why there are so many frustrated folk sitting right out in the pews right now. In every area of our lives, if we are in places we have not been assigned, there's not going to be a fulfillment underneath the skin, a joy and a peace underneath the skin, because we are not where we've been assigned to be. And so Jonah was dissatisfied, like a whole lot of us are, with our assignment. See, sometimes you're where you are not because you like it, but because God knows you're the one for the job. But Lord, why you call me to do this? Lord, say, because I've assigned you to do that and equipped you to do that. Some of you wonder on your job, why are you there? You've been assigned to be there, and you're effective there, and God's going to get the glory there, and those around you will get the good there. See, you've got to understand, one of the reasons why you can't get promoted is because you haven't completed the assignment where you are. And every assignment is a building block upon another one for which God prepares you for a greater situation or opportunity when you understand your assignment. You don't have to love the assignment, but you do have to love the one who assigned you. And if you love the Lord, you'll do what he assigned you to do. Well, look at Jonah now in his dissatisfied assignment. There are three things about it that I think you need to understand that caused his dissatisfaction. First of all, he was dissatisfied about the place that he was assigned. Nineveh. Nineveh was a significant place. Verse 2 tells us, go to Nineveh, that great city. If you run the reference of Nineveh, you back all the way back up to Genesis chapter 10, verse 11, you'll see the sons of Noah, one being Cush. Cush had a son by the name of Nimrod. Nimrod was a great hunter before the Lord and established great cities. In the beginning, you're going to see Nineveh became a great city. So it was significant and a significant place, and God wanted to save and spare Nineveh. But you've also got to understand that one of the reasons why this place was such a problem to Jonah was because of the next part of this issue, and that was the people. Because the people were the natural enemies to the Israelites. And you got to understand, and we sit here sometimes sanctimonious and all holier than thou, and we act like we are willing participants to go to our enemies and preach truth or share goodness with them, when the truth of the matter is we want our enemies wiped out of our existence so we don't have to deal with them again. Now, you know, look at it from Jonah's vantage point. Spirit of God was dealing with me when I was preparing this message, and here is the revelation of this thing. God sends Jonah to his enemies. Now you've got to understand why Jonah didn't want to go, because the message was, if they did not repent, God would destroy the city. Well, those are his enemies. So he figured, if he don't preach, I wish I had a helper in the house, then they would be destroyed. But now, that liken that until to someone who has shot and killed your son, raped your mother or your daughter, done you some despicable wrong, something that pained you so greatly that all you wanted to do was get them off of planet Earth, and God tells you, go and preach the gospel to them. That's not something you're willing to do. There's some folk who've done you less than that, and you wishing they don't wake up in the morning. You can act holier than thou if you want to. I'm just trying to help you to understand Jonah's plight. So he had a problem with the place, Nineveh, and he had a problem with the people, because not only was the place significant, but the people were sinful. And so because they were sinful, wicked, ungodly people, Jonah wanted to see them destroyed because of them being the natural enemies. But that was another reason that he did not want to go, because of the purpose. And that was salvation. He would have been glad to go and say, God told me to tell you, it don't matter what you do, you're going to die. He'd have jumped on the first thing going to Nineveh. But he knew that he gave them a choice, because that was the assignment, to preach to them that God smell your sins all the way up in heaven, and they stink in his nostrils. And if you do not repent, you're going to die. That was it. Jonah was upset, dissatisfied with the assignment. Now I want you to see this, because in verse 2, all of these things I just got through sharing with you, the place, the people, and the purpose are found there. But verse 3 reveals that Jonah was not only dissatisfied with the assignment in verse 2, but in verse 3, he was disobedient to the Almighty. Disobedient to the Almighty. Look what verse 3 says. But, that's the transition. He changes the direction here. But Jonah rose up to flee from unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. And that's one of the first problems, because you can't ever get out of his presence. And went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He was disobedient to the Almighty. How was he disobedient? Well, one, he had a different plan. Now, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when God gives you a plan, it is a perfect plan. You cannot improve on a perfect plan. The plan may not be fully appreciated by you, but if God designed the plan, then there is no plan better. If he says get up and go now, then waiting tomorrow and trying to hurry up won't make it better. If God says do it his way, he doesn't expect you to come up with your own way. So his first problem in being disobedient was he had a different plan from God. The next thing about his disobedience was he went to a different place. His different plan was not to preach, and to make sure of that, he went to a different place from that God told him to go. Listen at this, but there's something else. His disobedience caused him to have different problems and predicaments. And that's what happens when we become disobedient to the Almighty, especially when we know the plan. I think all of us, my brothers and sisters, whenever we've had a situation in our lives where we knew the plan of God, it was hard for us to get away from the reality of what we knew God told us to do. You'll never find peace, you'll never find happiness, you'll never find success outside of the revealed plan of God. When you know God's plan, it makes a impact upon your life, so much so that you know every time something goes wrong, it's going wrong because I'm out of his will. Holy Ghost just keeps bringing the plan back. Had you done it my way, you wouldn't be dealing with what you're dealing with. Didn't say you wouldn't have problems, but you wouldn't have these problems. And when you go according to God's plan, listen at this, you've got God's power to deal with every problem or predicament that comes up when you follow his plan. When you follow his plan, you can say, Lord, I did what you told me to do. Now, I'm experiencing all of this stuff now because you said do. And you can call on him for help, for strength, for support. And he shows up and you have the peace underneath the skin that God has got this thing fixed. When you do it according to his plan. Now, listen at this. It is because of the fact that he disobeyed God that he has now new problems and new predicaments to deal with. You know, sometimes we don't think, because God tells us to do something that we'll have problems with him. And so when we do experience some problems with him, we then want to get mad and upset with God, and we don't want to do what we're supposed to do. Just like Jeremiah, when God told him all that he was going to do through him, with him, for him, and all of that in the first chapter of Jeremiah, and here in the 22 through the 22nd, you start seeing Jeremiah get in trouble. Jeremiah gets thrown into a dungeon, and now he decides, God, wait a minute, I did what you told me to do. Now, I'm suffering derision daily because of what you told me to do. Can I tell you, when he tells you what to do, it don't mean it'll be problem-free. This ain't no Hakuna Matata, no worry-free philosophy. You got to go through some stuff. But when you go through it, he's going through it with you. And Jeremiah wanted to give up. He couldn't give up because God was right there. When he thought he could resign from God, all God did was stir up the gift. I mean, how many of you wanted to give up and God just stirred up what he had in you? I want to leave it alone, but I can't because he stirred. Oh, so sometime what you got to understand is, even though you don't like the assignment, when you obey God, you're going to still have some problems, but God will fix it for you. So listen at this. Because of his disobedience to the Almighty, what he did not see that followed was the disaster ahead. And so many times, my brothers and sisters, when we disobey God, trying to do it our way, we don't realize that we jump out of the skillet into the frying pan. But what we don't understand is we trade in some bad problems for some worse problems. See, what we don't understand is that what we think looks greener on the other side is many times artificial turf. You'll catch that on your way home. Sometimes what you don't realize is what you think is bad isn't comparable to that becomes worse because you do it your own way. And so Jonah didn't recognize that he was trading in a bad situation for a worse one. And sooner or later, he recognizes. So now he does not see the disaster ahead. Because look at the text, if you will. The word in verse 4 says, but the Lord. Now, isn't it amazing that there is a but in verse 3 and then there's a but in verse 4? And they both begin each verse and they both change the whole scene. God told Jonah to do one thing. Jonah said, I ain't going to do that. But he goes on his way. So since Jonah said, I ain't going to do that, but God said, okay, you can do what you want to do, but I'm going to do what I want to do. And he changes the situation. And what I'm trying to tell you is he'll let you make your own choices, but he won't let you control your own conditions. Are you listening to me here? He said, okay, since you want to do it your way, go ahead on to Tarshish. Go ahead on the boat going in the opposite direction of what I've assigned you. Go ahead on. You the man, Jonah. You can do what you want to do in spite of what I've told you to do. Go ahead on, Jonah. So Jonah does this. But the word says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. So God says, since my chiefest creation won't obey me, I've created some other things called nature that will. And I'm going to speak to the winds. And so all God did was call up the winds and say, listen, I've got an assignment for you. I told my creature Jonah to go to Nineveh. However, he chose to get on a ship going to Tarshish. Now, my assignment for you simply is, wind, keep the ship from getting ashore with Jonah on it. I wish I had a witness here. All I want you to do is rock the boat, but don't tip it over. I wish I had somebody in the house. I just want you to shake the ship up so much so that everybody on the ship gets scared and everybody on the ship recognizes that there's something different about this storm and willing to do something about it. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the wind obeyed the Lord, and they didn't understand, because when Jonah got on the ship, no doubt the forecast was all is clear, smooth sailing ahead. Don't see no troubles and just lay back and relax. We'll be at Tarshish in no time. But God held the wind back until they got too far from shore and not close enough to Tarshish. And then he said, wind, do your thing. And couldn't you see the wind? The captain didn't see this coming. He didn't understand this. He knows about quick storms that come up and rise in moments time, but he had never experienced a storm like this because it was a divinely assigned storm. Listen, let me tell you three things about this right quick, and I'm going to let you go. He didn't see disaster ahead, one, because this was an uncommon forecast. Uncommon, not natural. It was supernatural. And so God gives the assignment to the wind, and the wind knows its assignment, and the wind carries out the assignment to God's exact details. And Jonah's asleep when the storm arises. And everybody on the ship starts to recognize that with the winds as boisterous and the waves as tempestuous, that there was no way they would make it to the other side unless they lightened the ship, because the winds were so heavy that it caused the weight of the ship to go down deeper under the water as it blew. And so they figured if they could throw off stuff and lighten up the ship, it would have more bounce to it and stay on top of the waves rather than going under. And they threw off all they could throw off. And Jonah was down in the bottom of the ship sleeping. Isn't that like folk who create storms? You catching. And they sleeping through it. They ain't bothered about it. And you doing all the work. They created the mess, but you doing all the work. Talk, Pastor. And Jonah is sleeping, and the shipmaster goes down and asks him, what is his problem? Ask him, who is he? What is his job? What is he doing? All of these questions. And when he asks Jonah all of these questions, Jonah recognized something's wrong here. Something's wrong. And he answers the questions according to the text. But then he tells him that he must pray, because every man on board has been told to pray to their God. Hopefully they may be spared from this storm. But Jonah knew that even underneath the skin, that what they were going through was because of him. Jonah comes from down in the bottom of the ship to the top. And when he looks out on the storm, written across the black bosom of the storm was Jonah's name. Jonah's storm. Jonah tells the captain, listen, this ain't your problem. This really is my problem. My God is mad with me. I should have been in another place doing another thing, but I tried to do my own thing. This storm has been called to capture me. I tell you what, if you throw me overboard, everything will be cool, calm, and clear. If you just get rid of me, I am the problem. You'll see that everybody will make it back home safely. Just throw me overboard. The shipmaster tried to save him. But I got news for you. When some folk create their own storms, you can't save them from the stuff they've created. That they've got to go through it for themselves. And listen at this. Jonah recognized that it was nobody else's storm but his. And he at least had the good sense to recognize it and to acknowledge it. Listen at this, my brothers and sisters. And so he does. And so even when it came to casting lots, it fell on Jonah. And then the captain said, may God forgive us because we don't want to do this, but brother, we can't die because of your mess. And they picked Jonah up and they threw him overboard because that was an uncommon forecast. But that wasn't just an uncommon forecast, because you know the word, God prepared an uncommon fish. This wasn't no regular fish. It was a man, a specially made fish for Jonah. It was a custom designed fish for Jonah. It wasn't no new species of fish. See, you got to understand the Greek word and or the Hebrew word that actually translate the reality of what happened here. It was not the same word that comes out of creation, as in God created this fish, but it is a word that literally means that God modified this fish. He just took something that already existed and fixed it temporarily so that it could do what he designed it to do. And after it did what it was assigned to do, it would go back to its natural function. I wish I had somebody here. It was an uncommon fish because God, for 3 days and three nights, changed the internal makeup of the fish and would not allow its natural digestive process to be engaged. When Jonah was thrown overboard, God had already signaled the fish to be at the bottom of that boat. So when he fell down, the fish would get him up. So the fish gets him. And like a good taxi, because that's what he was, he didn't get his orders from Jonah. He had already been paid by God, and God had already told him where he wanted to drop him off. And he said, this is going to be a good fare, because this is going to be 3 days and three nights. So he took him and turned all the way around, heading on back to Nineveh. Now look at this, 3 days, three nights. When the fish, who had been designed by God for this assignment to carry Jonah as a taxi and drop him off on the seashores of Nineveh, at the end of that third night, here comes the fish. And he drives right on up onto the seashore. And he opens up his mouth. You don't believe? Look, I want to show you something. Turn to the third chapter if you don't mind. And see what verse 1 says. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying. Now, listen at this. Because here, as you see him telling him, say, now, Jonah, we had this conversation before now. But he's ready to listen. Yeah. But he doesn't talk to Jonah until he gives one more command to the fish. Look at the verse that's ahead of the third, the second chapter in the 10th verse. And the Lord spake unto the fish. y'all don't even get it. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry. When the fish got to the seashore, he held Jonah in his mouth until the Lord said, let him go. And he said, fish.